Now joining me in studio quickly, we're going to just set up our next half hour conversation. Jeremy Janine, UrbanMilwaukee.com. Good morning, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me.
So we always go back and forth. Actually, you do most of the heavy lifting than I do, more of the heavy lifting. But the one that struck me that I thought was interesting, I want to talk about to lead off the next half hour. And the headline is this: Milwaukee rebuilding key lakefront intersection, but not the one you hate.
Apparently. Yes. The city of Milwaukee is long overdue rebuilding the intersection of Lincoln Memorial Drive East Michigan Street.
Yes, yes, yes.
The one that engenders all the controversy is to the south, and we'll talk about when that one gets rebuilt.
And all sort of tied into the 794 project and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the things we're going to talk about. Cruise ships as well, which may be a down year, but looking ahead, might be a better future for cruise ships in Milwaukee with that new pier going in. Let's keep the conversation going on the Political Power Hour on this Tuesday edition. Jeremy Janine from UrbanMilwaukee.com. This one is one of those things that we see these problems with moving people around in the city of Milwaukee. This has to do with a key lakefront intersection, not the one that we hate, not the one maybe we think about. So fill us all in.
Yes, the intersection of Lincoln Memorial and East Michigan Street. And if you're like, where is that?
I was just at it today.
Right at the base of the Couture. And the reason there hasn't been any action there is because the Couture was delayed, the 44-story apartment tower. So the city had long had, going back a decade now, this plan: as the Couture happens, we'll rebuild this intersection. Well, the Couture kept getting delayed. Now we're finally there. But this intersection is important not just for the number of vehicles, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but it's this key pedestrian cross point between downtown and the lakefront.
Yeah.
So if you're there on a Summerfest evening, there's thousands of people crossing here.
So something has to be figured out. And I drive it almost every day because I take the home bridge now almost every day to work. And so I get off there, I make that left turn onto Michigan off of Lincoln Memorial Drive. But yeah, I've been there in the summer. It's packed. There's people moving around. Almost doesn't even have to be Summerfest. Concerts, something at the War Memorial or the Art Museum. I mean, these are really high tension, high focus intersections. Unfortunately, we don't even know what we're doing with 794 from there to the Marquette yet. So that's sort of all part of this as well, right?
Yes, this is really it is the last step of one project and possibly the first step of another project. And so it's the last step of this original lakefront gateway vision. And that goes back to reconfiguring the ramps you now get off on at the Hone Bridge. Created more land there because there was supposed to be this highway up the lakefront that was never built, probably for good reason. And now we have this new project in front of us, which it's going to, whatever happens with 794, and we're talking between the Hone Bridge and the Marquette Interchange, that east-west portion needs to be rebuilt, the eastern part. It's from the 1970s. There, change is going to come there, even if it's not a boulevard. And how that impacts this is definitely a question as well.
So as far as timing and timeline, if we don't know what's going to happen with 794, the Couture is essentially done. There's some landscaping that has to be done on the streetscaping, but that's
part of this project.
Yeah, yeah. So they're kind of, I guess, in a holding pattern. And obviously, if you're going north on Lincoln Memorial Drive and trying to get on 794, 94, that whole, you know, fiasco trying to figure out which lane you're supposed to be in. I know they have a lot of signage now, which has improved things. But how long is this going to be the case?
If we're looking at when is 794 done with whatever that is, we're 2030 probably. This intersection is only probably 2 years away. And I think that'll produce some pretty dramatic benefits because simply slimming this intersection down, there's one high speed turn lane left. It's just really wide. And all of a sudden the roadway narrows on both sides of it, I believe. That creates some confusion. So just right sizing that intersection for pedestrians and for vehicles. But then you have the question of the 794 project, whatever it is, includes rebuilding, and this is the intersection everyone hates, that East Clybourne Street and Lincoln Memorial Drive, where if you're going south, you got to go to the east. Like, there's all these odd directional moves you have to make.
Yeah, it just seems a little nutty to me, and it's something I see people comment on a lot. You mentioned traffic numbers and the vehicles. What are you seeing?
So just for context, the Lincoln Memorial Drive sees 32,000 vehicles a day through this Lincoln Memorial and East Michigan intersection. Is that a lot? Is it a little? And again, just for context, I have no broader point than this. 794, people going end to end, so not getting off anywhere on 794, but going from the Hone Bridge the whole way to the Marquette Interchange, that's only 26,000 a day. So this is a busy road, or 794 is not that busy with end to end.
I imagine that's seasonal too, right? Obviously, when you have big events going on, you're going to have more people.
I would assume so.
That's an average, probably.
The Wisconsin Department of Transportation website that has all this doesn't give you that data. There are certainly days that it is gridlock there, whether it's a heavy beach day because it's warm or there's a big concert.
It's been a very hot topic, and it's always been a political topic, and I didn't tell you I was going to ask you about this, but the hop is sort of in in need of repairs, and this is sort of a growing story because they have limited service right now.
Yeah, so I wrote about this yesterday. There, after we had discussed what we were going to talk about today, there are several issues plaguing the hop right now. There are just operational issues that are frankly embarrassing. The most challenging is an engineering issue, which is these two switches that when the system opened in 2018, you didn't really need to use these switches. Well, now the lakefront line, you need to use these switches. They're not draining, and that causes this electrical short, and then you can't run the lakefront extension. So the city has to continually, we have to turn it off today, the lakefront extension. There are more concerning operational issues where the Wisconsin Department of Transportation noticed that there were some minor derailments that kept happening because the wheels were in poor shape. The city had to let go of the operational manager because they weren't filing a grant report.
Which is a whole other story, right?
Yes. There are a lot of pieces that involve just the basic nuts and bolts operation of the system that aren't working right now.
My personal gripe with the hop is when I'm coming east on Michigan after getting off on Lincoln Memorial Drive and the hop is coming up whatever street that comes up going north, they take control of the lights and I'm sitting on Michigan for like 5 minutes. I don't like that.
I think there are arguments that you could improve the light timing.
It's ridiculous. Personal pet peeve, not your fault. Jerry Mangini, UrbanMilwaukee.com. After the break, cruise ships. Every day when I go over the Hone Bridge, I see this area where they're going to be building this massive, what do they call, pier.
Well, what you're looking at actually is a bathtub for contaminated sediment.
Yeah, but it's right next to that, right?
Right next to that.
Yeah, so this, and I want to ask you about this project and what that means. I read the story that you wrote, and it looks like we're going to have a little bit of a dip, and then maybe some big years coming up, maybe all tied to this new pier with a new company coming in. We'll get to that with Jeremy Janine, UrbanMilwaukee.com on the Political Power Hour, 620 WTMJ. I haven't heard this song in a long while. The Cars. Rick Ocasek, the late Rick Ocasek. Great band in the 80s when I was a youngster. I'm not a youngster anymore. Jeremy Janine, who is a youngster, joining me in studio from UrbanMilwaukee.com.
That's kind of you to say.
in comparative terms, you are a youngster. Let's talk about, I'm a fan of cruising. I've been one of the big tour companies that comes through here is Viking. I've taken, I think, 6 or 7 Viking cruises around the world, Mediterranean and across Europe. But they do the Great Lakes thing. This cruise story is interesting because we are embarking on this massive project to install a new pier and a dock for all of these big cruise ships. Because right now they sort of go into the river system, right, off the lake.
They use the inner harbor, a truly industrial dock.
Yeah. I'm supportive of the idea. But I noticed in your reporting there's a little bit of a downturn this year before we see with another company coming in. So explain what that's all about.
Yeah, so cruising has been on this Great Lakes surge, not just Milwaukee, which is a wonderful victim of geography and how cruising works on the Great Lakes. But cruising across the Great Lakes, many companies led by Viking entering the market. Viking has two of what's called Seaway Max vessels. They're the biggest ship that can get into the Great Lakes from the oceans. 370-some passengers, 660-some feet long. They're huge. They almost touch the Hone Bridge. They're that big when they go under it. They have two of those. Only one of those is going to be on the Great Lakes this year. They're already scheduling both of them to be back on the Great Lakes in 2026. But Milwaukee, which nearly eclipsed its 2022 record last year for 13,000-some passengers, is going to see a retraction this year. There's going to be fewer cruise boats that you're going to see.
What's the reasoning?
Just the biggest thing is Viking's taking that boat out of the Great Lakes just for 1 year. They must sense that there's more profit to be made. I've always wondered what is the long-term market for Great Lakes cruising, but everyone insists, hey, it's strong. And
I've heard it's a really, really cool trip around the Great Lakes on Viking.
Yeah,
I don't know about the new company Victory, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah, there's a couple different companies that are plying and they each have their different specialties. Viking is more of a natural adult focus. There's some that are more family focused. They bounce back and forth, Montreal, Duluth, all these different cities. So you're not just going Milwaukee, Chicago. Milwaukee has done really well getting what's called turnaround service. This is where it's the victim of good geography. One trip ends here. Those people get off the boat, stay in a hotel, maybe fly away on an airplane. So there's ancillary benefits. And then new people are doing that in reverse, getting on. But interesting things of how long is this going to last? $17 million investment in a cruise ship dock. There will certainly be cruise ships on the Great Lakes for the decades into the future, but how many is a question.
What's the timeline on the dock?
Dock is supposed to be operational by 2026. So Viking comes back in with two cruise ships, and they have a brand new dock to arrive at.
So when I'm driving over the Hone Bridge, I see that area. There's a landfill area. There's certainly the place where the ferry is docks every day. Lake Express?
Yes, Lake Express.
And then there's another pier that's north.
Yep.
That's sort of under. What is that?
So what you're seeing on the Lake Express, and immediately east of that is where the new cruise ship dock is going to go. To the north is a new dredged material management facility.
Oh.
And you're like, what is that? It's a concrete bathtub for dirty sediment that's at the bottom of the river system. And it's all part of this decade-long effort to eliminate Milwaukee from being on the list of federal areas of concern.
Good to have goals. All right, Jeremy Janine, UrbanMilwaukee.com, joining me. One more segment. We're going to talk about the future for former ambassador, former mayor, former congressman. What else has he done?
County Stadium usher.
Is that true?
That's true.
Tom Barrett, his political future, if he has one, or his future in general, with Jeremy Janine after this on 620 WTMJ.
Fly me to the moon.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Jeremy Janine. Been spending some time with him this morning. UrbanMilwaukee.com is where you can find his great work, their great work on all things Milwaukee and politics, and as we talked about, some of the big ventures happening in our community. This one's sort of a fun one. Mayor Tom Barrett, Ambassador Tom Barrett, is now back in Milwaukee, back in Wisconsin. You had a chance to talk with him.
Yeah, he came to the Rotary Club of Milwaukee. He gave a great presentation, and then he, like he did for years as mayor, he stayed around afterwards to answer questions from the media, using a line that I think is now part of his repertoire, because he said it to Matt Smith on Upfront as well, that Matt talked about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "This is halftime. I have no idea what comes next," which is really impressive because Tom Barrett is 71 years old.
Although I said to Matt yesterday when he was sitting in that chair, in today's world, when you have, you know, senators are 90 and presidential nominees, now presidents that are in their 80s, almost 80 for Donald Trump, I think he's 78. Not surprising.
Yeah. What comes next for Tom Barrett could be in 5 years he could think about running for president. He's almost old enough. But in
He said that, though, I mean, he said at one point that ship has sailed. I heard that comment as well.
In all seriousness, I don't think he's considering running for public office.
Governor.
Or governor. That didn't go well for him more than a decade ago. Not that it didn't go well, but it didn't end with the result he wanted. I did ask him, are you going to return to politics in some form? And I was clear. I'm not talking about elected office. And he said, I don't know how I can simply say I'm going to watch daytime TV all day. I'm sure I will be involved in something. I don't know what it is. Now, I think Tom Barrett maybe doesn't know about Netflix and everything that's on. The Diplomat might be a show he's interested in. But I just can't imagine someone like him not doing anything involved in politics.
Not to push him in one way or the other, but people like Tom, Mayor, Ambassador Barrett, end up in, like, on boards or on charitable foundations. That's the kind of work that a lot of people later in life get involved, which is a sort of a noble passion, part of the aging process as well. You've learned a lot in your life. He certainly has had a rich career in politics. Consulting is something that a lot of people do. We've seen Wisconsin congressmen and others go into the consulting world, think tanks. He knows a lot about Wisconsin politics, obviously from the Democratic side of things. He's a lifelong Democrat. There's value there, value added for a company or an organization or a board that brings him on. I couldn't even guess right now what he might end up doing, but I think he will do something because I'm not retired. And the reason I'm not retired, even though my wife is because I would be bored out of my skull. Well, I'll be honest.
And this way, we all have to listen to you every day from 9 to 10 a.m.
Have to?
Want to.
It's like check there. All right, real quick, I always like to find out what you guys are thinking about covering, or what are you working on, anything that stands out.
I'm going to bolt out of this room and head over to City Hall, for there's a discussion right now, one on the funding that we didn't talk about, the cost for this Lincoln Memorial, East Memorial Drive, or East Michigan rebuild. $16.5 million. I'm interested to find, that seems really expensive for one intersection and kind of two blocks next to it. The other thing is there's a fight about a new Deer District Hotel, and it's really between two labor groups. And the idea is to bring a Moxie Hotel to the south side, the former Bradley Center site, by Pfizer Forum. But there is a busted, we'll call, union election at the Trade Hotel on the north side. And that has one labor group kind of standoffish against the construction trade unions.
Interesting. I mean, there's probably no chance in heck that this is not going to be a hotel site, right?
Yeah, and it's only a portion of the Bradley Center site, but yes, it's certainly going to be a hotel. I think the question is when.
Also heard some reporting on our own station this morning and elsewhere that this Deer District Soccer Stadium is going to be green lighted and going forward.
Iron District Soccer Stadium. Yes.
Yeah, what did I say? Deer District? Iron District.
Yes, to the south of the WTMJ yes. studios, close to the Marquette Interchange. There's a plot of land, a USL soccer team coming there. It does seem like there's finally a groundbreaking in the making there. Land was transferred to a new entity that can accept some state support to advance that project.
Always great talking with the great writer at UrbanMilwaukee.com, Jeremy Janine. We'll do it again next Tuesday.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Easy on your bolting.